Hello, and welcome to Africa, this enormous and astonishing continent. South Africa, to be more precise, just a short drive outside Johannesburg. And I'm here to talk to a remarkable man, Credo Mutwa. When I first came to South Africa about 18 months ago, within 2 or 3 days, I was introduced to Credo Mutwa. I'd never heard of him at the time, but from the moment I met him, I didn't stop listening and he didn't stop talking for at least 5 hours. And within the first few minutes, I realized I wasn't just in the presence here of a man of great knowledge, and he's certainly that. I was in the presence of a genius, a unique human being. And Credo Mutwa is without doubt the most incredible man it has been my honor to meet. Credo is what some people around the world call a shaman, and some deeply, deeply ignorant people call a witch doctor. And to give him his official title, he's a Sanusi in the Zulu nation. Sanusi is the carrier, the keeper of the ancient knowledge of so much, including the ancient knowledge of history, of Africa, where all this came from, where the people came from, what the truth of history is, instead of the largely nonsensical version of history that we get through the universities and the schools from very, very well-educated professors, you know. There are only two Sanusis left in South Africa. Credo is one. And that's terrifying because it means the true version of the history of this continent is dying. Being lost to this official nonsense that we're told is history, but is absolute garbage. History has been rewritten, and the people who can put that history together again are going out of this world as they age and are not replaced. So you're about to have, as I have, the enormous privilege of hearing this man talk and seeing his knowledge preserved for as long as the electronic medium exists. He is the official storyteller and keeper of the history, the knowledge of the Zulu people. But you know, knowledge is a very dangerous thing when you're trying to hold people down into a mind prison, you're trying to manipulate them, you're trying to control them. And so people like Credo Mutwa, who have the knowledge to rewrite history and therefore rewrite the present, they are very dangerous people to those that wish to control and suppress. This man has had endless threats to his life, endless attempts on his life, right up to the last few days. And he has upset the hierarchy of his own people as much as he's upset those others in other cultures and other races that wish also to suppress the truth for reasons of preserving their own religious domination or keeping people in ignorance. And so I've come here to talk to Credo at length about many things, and this is a series of unique videos with a unique man. And what we're going to start out with is to concentrate on a bizarre story, an off-the-wall story, you would think, but one which he is confirming at every turn from his own background, his own unique knowledge of this continent. Over the last few years, as I've been trying to uncover how the world's controlled by a few people, which it is, and who those people are, it has emerged from my research that, bizarre as it may seem, a reptilian race from another world, interbred with humanity in the far ancient world, creating hybrid crossbreed bloodlines. You see references to these in the Old Testament and into endless of the ancient texts in the Old Testament. It talks about the sons of God, which in the original is sons of the gods, plural, interbreeding with the daughters of men to create the hybrid race, the Nephilim. These gods were the literal gods of the ancient people. And they used to sacrifice people literally to the gods. And these crossbreed bloodlines, as ancient accounts tell around the world, were put into the positions of ruling royal power in the ancient world. And then, as is happening today, when you do the genealogy of the ruling families and the ruling positions of power in the world, be they the 42 presidents of the United States after Bill Clinton, be they the British royal family, be the aristocracy of Europe, any of these key ruling elites, the top of the banking system, the top of the global business system, you hit the family lines which go back to these same ruling lines of the ancient world, royal lines, that the ancient accounts say were the crossbreeds between humanity and these reptilian gods. In other words, a reptilian extraterrestrial race has been controlling planet Earth for thousands of years to this day and putting its genetic compatible bloodlines into the positions of power as presidents, prime ministers, banking leaders, business leaders, etc. And this explains so many things. Where we get the divine right of kings from, the divine right to rule because of the bloodline, the genetics. Why these ruling families of the aristocracy and the royal families have always incessantly interbred with each other, just as the Eastern establishment families of the United States do, that produce so many presidents and banking leaders and administrators of government in the United States. And astonishingly, and bizarre as I keep saying, and seemingly ridiculous as this story may be from our conditioned perspective of life and reality, when I started talking to Credo Mutwa from his African experience and knowledge of the most staggering depths and variety, he tells exactly the same story that I have uncovered around the world, exactly in great detail. And if Africa and the world is ever going to be free, and we are, then they have to listen to this man. And they have to listen now. I started out by talking to Credo about the origin of the knowledge that he is about to share with us for the first time in so many cases. Because this is the knowledge that only initiates normally get. But as Credo says, the world needs to know this. And so, this is a unique video. And this is a unique man. And like I say, I asked him first about the origin of the knowledge that he's about to pass on.
When the white man started destroying our religion, when he started demonizing our gods, when he started ridiculing what we believed in and actually using educated Africans to destroy that ancient African religion. In many parts of Africa, say, our ancient religion went underground. And there were, call them secret societies, all over South Africa and Central Africa and East Africa and West Africa, where this knowledge was stored and kept by aging guardians, many, many of whom did not know that in other parts of the land there were other guardians who were doing exactly as they were doing. Now, when I first became a Sangom, I was already, say, a person of education. I had entered school as a child of 14 years, and when I became a Sangom, I was a youth of 16 years. And what my aunt and my grandma, my grandfather, as well as my maternal grandmother, taught me shook me to the core of my soul. I found that the mission schools had been teaching me lies about my people all along. Missionaries had told us as children that the only light came to Africa with white people. That before the white men came, we black people had no idea about God. We had no belief in a life after death. And that our people were just a race of savages who used to lie around in the sun, womanize, fight, and drink beer every day. I was suddenly awakened to the fact that Africans had in fact been far greater intellectually than the missionaries were willing to give them credit for. That like the white men, we had astrology, astronomy, we had surgery. In fact, I found that Zulu surgeons in the early years of the 19th century and the 18th century and even beyond could perform operations which white surgeons were not capable of operating. And the more I learned about my people, the more I wanted to learn. And when my initiation under my aunt Mina and my grandfather Zigo had ended, I wanted to know more and more and more. And sometimes I had to pay a ghastly price in order to gain this knowledge. In one place, here in the northwestern Transvaal, my teachers found that I was really uncircumcised. And they told me bluntly that if I wanted to be a member of this secret society, I had to undergo circumcision. And I did, and it was screamingly painful, I assure you, because it was done with a clasp knife which somebody must have blunted a little bit just to make sure that I got the message.
Well, I had the same gun, but I was asleep at the time, so we have that in common.
And say, in some places in Southern Africa, if you wanted to learn the secrets of a certain secret society, you had to do dreadful things which I cannot repeat here. And at one time in Barotsiland, in the west of what is today Zambia, my teacher said, look, how far are you willing to go in order to become one of us? I said, I am willing to go anywhere. He looked at me and he said, listen, educated man, we are tired of people like you. White men come amongst us to milk our minds and then to kill us. We want to be sure that we can trust you. And wait, sir. I said, great one, I am willing to do anything. He said, are you? I said, yes. And then, they went into a graveyard, and from there they removed the hand of a corpse dead 2 days, and they brought it and they challenged me to cook it a I did so. And these were the peoples who first told me about a race of highly intelligent beings which they called the Chidauri, the talkers, a race of creatures which look like reptiles, who have ruled the world for hundreds, if not thousands of years. Through this dreadful act, I was able to gain knowledge which was denied to even the highest Sangomas, because they could not, they would not go through the ritual I went through. This is how secret knowledge is protected in Africa. So, and at one time, let me tell you another thing. Again, in Barotseland, on the border between Angola and North Rhodesia, as it was called, I was brought into a hut. And in the hut was a young woman. She was as black as ebony, and her hair was like a huge black cloud on her head. Her teeth had been sharpened in the Barotse fashion until they looked like those of a reptile. And Mutwa was very puzzled. What's this lady doing here? This, I'm supposed to spend several nights in this hut. So what is she? What is she doing here? Now, Credo Mutwa, being a frightened Zulu, afraid of women but not afraid of wild animals, decided to sleep with his back to the wall, giving the lady a nice clean bed. And on the following day, Credo Mutwa was fined £15 by the local chief because I had refused a sacred gift. I had been supposed to do something very amazing to this lady to show that I was one of the people.
Bad luck.
Bad luck. But
why, Credo, have you chosen to reveal this knowledge now to a much, much wider audience?
Mr. David, please, Africa is dying. Africa, is being murdered. And we are sitting like bloody fools. And we don't realize what's being done to our people. Say, I have proof that can stand in any true court of law that the disease called AIDS is a man-made disease. And this disease is going to kill 3/4 of South Africa's black people within the next 10 years. Say, there are wars in Africa which make no sense to me as a black man. Please, when people fight a war, Mr. David, why do they fight? People fight in order to get rid of something that is giving them pain. Whether that something is a tribal chief or a corrupt modern government. They want to fight to remove this burden or to be destroyed by it. That is the idea behind a rebellion. But in Africa we find wars where a group of rebels challenges a government and tries to fight against it. And then these wars end in the total destruction of that particular country. where neither the rebels nor the government wins anymore. And why? Because you find this force of rebels facing the government, and all of a sudden the rebel army splits into little factions which start fighting each other and not the real enemy. And soon it becomes a situation where everybody is fighting everybody else and the whole thing is getting nowhere. Say, I say that these wars which are destroying Africa this way are orchestrated by forces from outside Africa.